Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back into quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by DraftKings. Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action by giving you 100-to-1 odds on the golfer of your choosing to finish in the top 10. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer of your choice finishes in the top 10 of this weekend's tournament. That's code KSN for limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two, the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Penn State football beat writer Greg Pickle. Greg, before we get into our segment, who do you got for this weekend in Augusta?
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating tournament, Jim. I mean, there are so many guys that you look at and say, man, I don't know how you even pick one. But I'm going against Spieth, I can tell you that. And I don't know. How about Bryson DeChambeau? I don't even know what his odds are, but let's go with him today.
Not a bad choice. At the very least, he's fun to watch,
yes,
right?
Correct.
Crushing the ball. So he makes things interesting. All right, let's get back to Penn State football, Greg. And I want to ask you, get the opportunity to talk some of the Penn State players that are entering the NFL draft. It's always an interesting topic. And
right.
I got to be honest, I am totally and completely addicted to these mock drafts that come out. I read every one I could find, and I'm amazed at how some players vary so much from mock draft to mock draft. One of those guys who seems to be a polarizing choice, I've seen him up in the top 10, I've seen him drop, is our own Micah Parsons. It seems like they have him all over the place.
Correct.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, here's a guy who I think a lot of people think is maybe the most talented defender in the draft, certainly one of the top two or three defenders, most talented defenders in the draft. And yeah, he keeps going up and down. I've seen him as high as the top five, and I've seen him as low as like 26, 27, and it's the very back end of the first round. And it's weird because, you know, you don't typically see so much disagreement on one guy. You know, someone might have him at five, someone might have him at six, someone might have him at seven, something like that. Usually it would send a couple of picks. But Jim, as you point out, I mean, he's all over the place right now. There's just no real consistency to it. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because people think that trades are going to happen. I don't know if it's because people think that, you know, that going to be a big deal, but it's been interesting to watch kind of where all these different mock drafts put him. And you know, ESPN's out with a new one this morning, and I'm just scrolling here to see where they put him. But you know, again, this is going to be another 9 to the Broncos, and that's the first time I've seen him at 9 to the Broncos. So it's interesting for sure.
How much we've learned over the last several years that positional value has changed. Very seldom do you see a running back go high anymore. How about the position linebacker? Is there some positional issue to this also?
Yeah, there certainly could be. I mean, when you look over the last handful of years, Jim, I mean, it's not like we've seen linebackers go super, super early. Not certainly where Micah Parsons was originally being projected to go. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's odd. I mean, it really is kind of odd. You would think that at this point we'd hit the point where there are some, similarities, and we would see him kind of going in the same spot to the same team and all that kind of stuff. But the longer I sit here, Jim, the more I can find you different examples of that not being the case. You know, I'm looking at NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah's most recent mock draft, and he has Micah at 15 to the Patriots, which, again, I don't know about you, but that's the first time I've seen him go to the Patriots in a mock draft. So, you know, it's going to be really challenging to figure out where he is going and what he's going to do, because, like we said, no one just, it just seems like there's no consistency across the board right now in terms of where, you know, where he's going to go and who he's going to go to. And I imagine for him, that's tough. But at the same time, I think if you're the people around him, if you're him, if you're his agent or anyone else he's leaning on, I think you just have to realize that there are a lot of special players on offense in this draft. And it's possible that he will slip, Jim, because teams are going to fall in love with one of those, you know, one of those amazing offensive players or one of the quarterbacks or one of the corners who are on the board. So we'll see. But, you know, if he does fall, I don't think it's because of a lack of talent or anything like that.
Final question on Micah. I know you're an Eagles fan. At number 12, would you be happy if the Eagles took Parsons?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be a good fit for that defense. The Eagles have a lot of problems. That's the issue they have, is that they could use help just about everywhere. And, you know, linebacker's certainly one of those spots. So, yeah, I mean, I could see them taking him there. I could see them taking the corner from Alabama there. I mean, and that's what's going to make this draft so interesting, is that Micah's not the only guy who could fall based on the sort of the way things look right now. There are a lot of other guys who could be in that same boat.
Several other players to ask you about. Really intriguing guy is Jason Owe. He was the absolute star of Pro Day.
Right.
I think that's even been nationally recognized. He's the guy who helped himself the most on his Pro Day. We as Penn State people, we saw that coming from way back. We knew it
right.
would. Like Parsons, a bit of a polarizing guy. Would he go into the get picked in the first round? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I think back to last year, Jim, when everyone thought that Etor Gross-Matos was going to be a first-round pick. And we've done this before where we thought Penn State guys would end up going higher than what they ultimately did. And, you know, would it surprise me if late in the first round, if somebody fell in love with Jason? No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, obviously, he is really, really talent is – you know, his talent question, but he also has production question marks. And so it's going to take a team to fall with him and make him late in the first round for him to go there. I mean, my guess, Jim, is that he does not go in the first round. I think he's an early day two pick, but it certainly wouldn't shock me if somebody says, you know what, this guy's a physical freak, let's take a chance on him.
That's what I think also, that someone in the first round will just look and say, he is so unique. And towards that end, I recently, just last week, I believe, I was watching one of the games from last season. There was a play where he went from sideline to sideline to make the tackle.
Yeah.
And you just know he wasn't going to be able to do that without that 4.3 speed that
Correct.
He has. It was pretty special. If you were looking for it, and I think somebody will fall for that. It's a case where he may have a low floor, but an absolute high ceiling. And I put out that expression because I wanted to ask you about the next guy, which is Pat Freiermuth, who I think is the opposite of Owe. I think of him as high floor, low ceiling.
Right.
But how much is he dealing with the aftermath of his injury and surgery?
Yeah, you know, he claims that he's going to run the 40. I don't know where he's going to do it, if he's going to take a video of it and send it to teams or what. But he claims he's going to run the 40 remotely once he's finished rehabbing. And it sounded like it'd be a couple of weeks from pro day that would happen, Jim. So, I mean, we're now about, you know, we're getting close. Pretty darn close to that point in time where if he wants to run a 40 for teams, I think he's going to be able to any day now. So, you know, that I don't know how much teams really care about his 40-yard dash time, because they could see how fast he moves on the field and his production and everything else. But, you know, we just don't see tight ends typically go in the first round, and that's maybe fair, unfair, or otherwise, but it's the way it is that, you know, it's tough to – it's tough to feel like it's a guarantee that he's going to go in the first round. So to me, he's another guy. Early day two, I'd be surprised if he lasts much longer than, I'd be surprised if he lasts much longer than, you know, the middle of the second round, end of the second round, certainly not into the third round. But, again, there was talk at one point that he could be a first round pick, and I just don't think that's in the cards.
No, I don't think so either. And his surgery was on his shoulder, correct?
Correct, yes.
So I would think, you know, not NFL teams won't be so much looking at his 40 time. It's maybe the reps, the bench press. Let's see if that shoulder is fine or not.
Correct.
If that's healthy, that's where the question mark is. A guy who gets lost in a lot of this, Greg, is Shaka Toney.
Right.
His pro day, his numbers were really, really good. The only problem was they had another defensive end there whose numbers were incredible. So I think Shaka Toney seems to get lost in the shuffle here a bit.
Yes, he does. You are 100% correct, Jim. And it's a shame because, again, he's a super, super extremely talented player. And because of the fact that he's with Jason Alway and Micah Parsons and Pat Freiermuth, I mean, he just gets lost in the shuffle. It's not fair, but it's true. And obviously, I think he's like, you know, Troy Apke's not a completely fair comparison, but he's that guy who in this year's draft class, I think, is going to go higher than people expect just simply because people know what he can do. People have seen him in action. People have realized, you know, that he is a productive player and that he is able to get sacks and he is able to tackle guys behind the line of scrimmage and play the run and play the pass and so on and so forth. So, yeah, you're right. It's a shame that he is overlooked, but I do think he's the kind of guy who's going to go much earlier than expected. When we look back on this draft, Jim, we'll say, you know what? That's exactly what we knew was going to happen based on everything we knew about how good he is and how good he was in college.
And finally, in the minute or so we have left, there's Michael Mennett still there. And are there any other players that we should mention?
Yeah, I mean, I think Michael Mennett and Will Fries, I would be very surprised if one of them ends up as an undrafted free agent. I just think they were too good of high school players, Jim, or high school players, college players, to not get a chance in the NFL. But at the same time, I don't expect either to go before day three. You know, they're guys that will get a chance late, and they're going to have to do a lot of work, obviously, to make a team. But outside of them, you know, maybe Lamont Wade gets a shot as a special teamer as well.
He did show something at the end of the season as a special teams player. Made several of us say, gee, how come they didn't put him back there earlier?
Right.
It was pretty impressive. And guys do get into the NFL based on their special teams work, don't they?
Absolutely. Oh, there's no question. I mean, we've seen a number of guys just go to the NFL to be star special teamers. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that he is certainly someone capable of doing that. I think if someone gives him a shot, he'll thrive in that role.
Let's hope he at least gets that opportunity. That is it for quarter number two of our show. Stay tuned. In quarter number three, we take your questions and we ask Greg. Stay tuned for that.
Golfers are in Augusta to compete for the coveted jacket, and DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action. Pick any golfer from this weekend's tournament, and if they finish in the top 10, you cash $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.